Well, I suppose if I go back, Sheen, one of the outcomes from the Sport and Mental Health Conference in 2013 was around Donegal Sports Partnership developing a charter for clubs which promoted positive mental wellbeing. It outlined a number of steps that a club could take, little steps which had big impacts, and it was really all around the underpinned by the ethos of respect. So we further developed it, and after a consultation process with key stakeholders, we developed the Building Positive Clubs programme, which aims to support and guide sports leaders, club people, community organisations, parents, players and teachers. It promotes a culture of positivity within a club. So it's a toolkit for clubs, but it's accompanied by two training and education workshops as well. One workshop looks at developing positive club culture, and the other looks at positive coaching. So really the ethos of your club, how wholesome is the club, is it a whole club approach? And then from the positive coaching side, recognising effort and moving away from the win at all costs attitude. So that's really the conference is now a culmination of what's happened in the project. We've completed the pilot with Van Harps Academy, the first club in the county to undertake the programme. So it's really to promote the project and to promote the learning from the resource.
Yeah, and I suppose as the clubs move forward and into the future and the way sport is going, is this conference highlighting what will be seen as crucial building blocks and a foundation now for a club?
Absolutely. I think the conference will hear inspirational accounts maybe from a number of prominent sports people. They'll discuss issues that are common, actually more common than probably people realise, but it'll also highlight the very powerful role of sport and the impact that it has in daily life. From the coaching perspective, yes, the conference will highlight and explore the benefit of positive coaching. More often than not, sports clubs do provide positive learning experiences and positive experiences in sport. But unfortunately, we've seen that emergence of the win at all costs attitude, which is so detrimental. It's something that we want to maybe go 360 on. Focus on the positives, focus on the constructive feedback, focus on the efforts. And I think if clubs start to evaluate and look at themselves and their individual practices and philosophies, that maybe that's the way forward.
Hoisin, we'll bring you in. Is there more pressure on sports people, men and women now than there was before, than there ever has been before?
Well, I think there's certainly more focus on them. I think, even, from a local media point of view, from a national media point of view, sports people, and remember the majority of sports people we have in this country are amateur sports people, and they have no basic training. When somebody is thrown into the limelight, I suppose, there's no basic training there for anybody, and you sort of left to plough your own furrow, and you will make mistakes, and mistakes will happen along the way. And I suppose a lot of it does go back to your roots. A lot of it does go back to what happened to you as a child, what your experiences were initially within that club, and growing through the club and going through the underage system, and the people you come in contact with. And I think that for a lot of people who go right to the top of their sports, will come back and they will say, you constantly hear them say about the positive experience they had, as a child or as a young adult.
And a lot of issues off the pitch and away from sport can have an impact, and particularly on young people. But you, of course, had your issues, Oisin, and your problems that you managed to overcome. Maybe you can give our listeners just maybe a general background run on what your issues were with gambling and how you tackled it.
Yeah, I suppose the simple thing for me, when I was growing up in a small village in South Armagh, the only thing I had in front of me sports-wise was Gaelic football. And I suppose I set out at a very early age to try and be the best Gaelic footballer I could be. I suppose that was going really well for me at 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 years of age. 14 years of age, I had my first bet on a horse. And to be honest, I don't even remember if the horse won or lost, but I just remember being instantly attracted to the trappings and everything that went with gambling. And, I didn't know at the time, obviously, but at 14 years of age, I can say that, I started a relationship with gambling. A relationship which turned into an addiction, and I suppose there's a lot of negative connotations and rightly so with addiction. But one of the things that I found was that as well as financially obviously putting myself under pressure, you know, hurting family members and different things along the way. But, you know, also my emotional health and well-being was being damaged. My ability to communicate, my ability to be, I suppose, a part of a team. You know, I suppose I would have seen myself more as an individual within the team. And, you know, that created a lot of problems for me. You know, I wasn't able to speak out. I wasn't able to talk about my feelings. I wasn't able to express my feelings. And I suppose my addiction started with very small amounts of money. My gambling addiction started with very small amounts of money. It also started with not spending a hell of a lot of time on it. And that slowly but surely developed to at 17, 18, 19 years of age. I was gambling every single day, beg, borrow and steal in order to get that money to have that bet. And I was getting a real buzz out of gambling to begin with. I felt as if gambling at times was replacing what was happening on a football pitch on a Sunday. And, you know, that was my focus. And that's where I was getting the buzz from, was the winning. And the strange thing is that in the end, there was no buzz. And, you know, before the end, part of my buzz was just basically putting on that bet. It was just getting that money, hooking, scamming, stealing, whatever it took to get that money, to get that bet on. You know, and people say about gambling is different from other addictions like alcohol or drugs because you're not getting it, you know, there's no physical effects, basically. And I think that's one of the things that I find that one of the statistics, and you find very few statistics around gambling, one of the statistics say that people who play a sport are twice as likely to gamble compulsively. People who play a team sport are three times more likely to gamble compulsively. Like, that is alarming, an alarming statistic to me. And, you know, I was one of those people who, as I say, was trying to recreate that buzz. But when I realised that I could not recreate that buzz, I was too far into the addiction to do anything about it, and I was too far gone, you know, to try and get myself back. And it was only, you know, it was the day before my 30th birthday that, you know, I eventually held my hands up and said, I just can't take this anymore. But, you know, of course it was from a financial point of view, but it was more to do with my mental health and well-being, and it was more to do with the pressure that I felt under, and it was more to do with the thoughts that I was starting to have how do I get out of the situation that I'm in.
Yeah. How did sport help you to come out of that situation, Oisin?
Well, I suppose one of the things that I would have found when I did eventually hold my hands up and ask for help, that help was very forthcoming, and mainly, to be honest, through people in my own, through obviously family members and people within my own club, you know, very understanding of where I was at. And, you know, the fact that it was going to take a little bit of time before I was back, you know, because a lot of time, you know, with sports people, you just want to get as much out of them as you think you can. You want to, you know, make them quicker, faster, stronger. And I just, you know, I had to take a step away from all that, and I had to concentrate on how my head was. And once people realized, you know, that if my head was right, that, you know, I would be able to give a lot more on a football pitch. I don't think that was the only reason. I think they genuinely cared about me. But once they realised that, you know, help was very much forthcoming, and the support whenever I come out of, you know, having done 13 weeks in the treatment centre was very helpful as well. To be able to go into the harness of of having teammates there who are willing to support you, willing to back you, and you know what, my earliest memories of being in my own club are very, very positive. And you know what, my latest memories of before I stopped playing and went into management, you know, are very, very positive as well. And that's why I suppose I keep going back to the club. My wife keeps telling me that, you know, I need to take a step back from it. But that's my passion and that's my desire. And I think some of that is driven by the fact that whenever, I suppose, if you like, the proverbial hit the fan in my life, that's where I was getting my support from.
Yeah. What's the reaction like from young people, I suppose general men and women, when you tell them your story and I suppose how gambling took a grip of your life and how to come through it and how sport helped you get through it as well, Oisin? What's the general reaction when you tell people your story?
The general reaction, I suppose, is shock that, you know, that I was still playing at quite a high level. and, you know, still performing at quite a high level, even though I always felt there was more in me. But that's one of the things, I suppose if I ever open it up to the floor and I get questions coming at me, that is one thing. How did you play football while you were going through what you were going through? And I think that's testimony to sport, and I think that's testimony to the people that, you know, were around me, that, you know, I was able to throw myself in the sport. And even if it only was for 4 or 5 hours a week or whatever it was at that time, to be able to go there and forget about the if you can imagine, on one side of my life, you know, was a complete mess, complete ill discipline, and for 4 or 5 hours every week, you know, there was complete discipline, and I was able to express myself like I did as a child and in the sport that I loved. And I think it's no exaggeration, and it does sound dramatic, but it's no exaggeration that sport at that time kept me alive.
Yeah. Is sport now across, well, I suppose people across all sport now starting to get a grip of this and become more involved in it and highlight issues where sport can help and issues that sport have an impact on as well, Oisin?
Absolutely. I think, you know, a lot of times, like, you know, even look at something like, you know, the Troubles in the North and you know, you look at the legacy of the Troubles, in, you know, in the North, and the one thing that you always feel, you know, that can cross that divide is sport. I think, you know, it's the same in in mental health or in addiction. You know, when I walk into a Gamblers Anonymous meeting, and I say my name's Oisin, I'm a compulsive gambler. You know, I'm surrounded by people. It doesn't matter if they're black, yellow, blue, Protestant, Catholic, Hindu. None of that matters. Everybody in that room is in the same boat, and it breaks down a hell of a lot of barriers. And I think, you know, that's, you know, very, very similar to what sport is doing.
Yeah. There's always positives and negatives in this, and I suppose we're talking about positivity in sport, but one of the negatives in sport can be as well, Oisin, that there's this win-at-all-costs issue, and people get so deep in trying to perform and win at a very, very high level. When that doesn't happen, that is when then they start to, I suppose, sit back and issues become prominent in their life.
Yeah, I totally agree with that around the win at all costs, especially you know, having that mentality at a very young age and having that, I suppose, pushed on you at a very young age. I think one of the things is that, you know, one of the positive things that I've seen come out of sport in the last number of years, and I could name 50 people, but the likes of maybe Joe Smith and Jim Gavin and probably Jim McGuinness, and, you know, guys who are at the very top of their sports, whatever that sport may be. One of the things that they have talked about is, you know, about going out, enjoying it, and going through the processes, and, you know, winning is a byproduct of that. But if you are going out and the only thing in your mind is, I'm going to, you know, whatever it takes, I'm going to win this game, that can have a detrimental effect, not only on your individual performance, but the performance of the team as well. So I think, to be fair, slowly but surely, I hope that we are getting away from that. I mean, like, I watch a lot of underage football, a lot of nieces and nephews with 2 wee boys now coming up, you know, starting to get involved in football. And one of the most horrible things you'll see is, you know, an argument or a row at an underage match, because, you know, you can see the kids and you can see that's not why the kids are there. And sometimes it's us as adults that are responsible more so than the kids. And kids, you know, suck up everything that we put in front of them, and they learn from, you know, everything that we put in front of them, and they are sponges for, you know, for what our attitude is like. And if our attitude is right, at a very early age, a non-age game, that it is there, it is sport, and that's why it's called sport, then, you know, that can have a positive effect on where they go in the future.
Just finally with yourself, Oisin, how important is it, do you feel, that clubs now here in Donegal and in the Northwest region have an opportunity to get involved in this conference, hear what it's all about, and start implementing programmes into their respective clubs and sport?
Yeah, well, you know, you've heard about the, you know, Therese mentioned about the, you know, they've already piloted and it has been a success. And I think, you know, sometimes it's difficult to sell this sort of thing to clubs, especially around mental health and around, you know, how this, you know, can affect you as a club. And I always say one of the byproducts of all this is that whenever you look into that, and this probably some people this sound airy fairy, but whenever you look into the holistic, whenever you look into the person as a whole, and you start to develop that person as a whole, you get more back as far as performance and everything else. And if that is the byproduct, that's the way that clubs want to sell this to the other people within the club, then so be it. You know, you've got an individual coming out there who's not only performing, you know, at a really high level, but also a really balanced individual and somebody who not is going to help you in the short term, but somebody who's going to be there in the club for the long term.
Listen, Oisín, many thanks for taking the call, and we will, of course, see you next weekend in Donegal at the Building Positive Clubs Conference. And enjoy your weekend in Donegal, Oisín.
Thank you.
There you go, that's Oisín McConville, All-Ireland winner, of course, with Armagh, talking about issues which he had problems with during his life, gambling, and how sport has helped him to overcome those. And he will be one of the guest speakers at the conference next Saturday at the College de Alley in Letterkenny. Organiser Therese Lafferty is still with me. And Therese, we heard Oisín talking about his issues, but there's other speakers that will be there on the day that have different stories to tell and how sport have helped them.
Yeah, we'll have Alan O'Mara, who is the current goalkeeper with Cavan senior GAA team. He's the first inter-county player to come out and openly talk about depression. He's the founder of Real Talks, and he's the ambassador to the HSE's Little Things campaign, and he recently authored The Best Is Yet to Come. We'll have Peter Mitchell, former professional player with Leeds United. He played alongside Robbie Keane, Rio Ferdinand. Peter unfortunately had a car accident which resulted in him being a wheelchair user, but during his rehabilitation he was visited by one of the lads from the Knights basketball team in Belfast, and as a result Peter now plays nationally and internationally and has reached a great standard. So he let us know just the impact that sport has had on his life. We have Antonio Montero, I suppose from the coaching perspective, successful blog writer, most famously known for thecoachdiary.com. He introduced the Silent Sidelines campaign in Ireland. He focuses on improving youth participation and development in sport, and he recently opened the Coach House after school centre in Dublin. We'll also have people like Breffni Early, suffering from depression, suicidal, completely turned his life around through sport, completed and won the world cycle race, 30,000 kilometres over 26 different countries, spreading the message it's okay not to be okay. We'll have other people then from the coaching perspective. Jim Donnelly, who is the regional manager of the global organisation Active Communities Network, work with young people from disadvantaged backgrounds in Northern Ireland. He's devised a resilience toolkit all about building resilience in youth, and he's trained coaches nationally and internationally on his work. And then finally we'll have our own Trevor Scanlon from the Finn Harps Academy, former player with Sligo Rovers and Finn Harps. Trevor will provide us with an update on the Building Positive Clubs programme, how it's been for them, what they've got out of it as a club, and maybe the encouragement to other clubs to come forward and take part in the programme as well. So we've quite a variety of speakers that are going to be there on the day.
Yeah, and this isn't just open to clubs as well?
No, absolutely not. I think there's learning for everyone in this. We love to see clubs, coaches, administration of clubs as well, because sometimes it falls to the coaches, but unless the whole club are involved, it's very hard to make changes in a club and to change the club ethos. Teachers, players, athletes, everyone is very welcome. Youth, we'd love to see. So youth players, youth athletes, for under 18s, it's free. So they're very welcome to come along. I think the theme of the event is sport changes lives, and the stories that we'll hear on the day will reiterate that. And there's a lot of learning for everyone. The other target for us is people that are out there that can maybe associate with some of these issues. There's a lot of people struggling. There's a lot of issues, and people sometimes aren't aware of them. I suppose we're in a privileged position working in sport. I've worked at elite level and youth level, so you've seen it firsthand. but maybe by coming along, hearing some of those stories, it'll help them to turn their lives around as well.
Yeah. Just finally, when you launched this programme a number of years ago, you have been steady building towards this conference. Are you hoping now that this is the springboard that the programme needs to be filtered out through the clubs across the Northwest?
Absolutely. We're hoping once we've completed this conference that we'll open it out to other clubs in the Northwest. We have expressions of interest ready to go out to clubs. And I think that if coaches and clubs come along and hear what we're trying to do and the impact that they can actually have on the lives of young people and their continued lifelong development and participation in sport, that they'll feel that it's a very worthwhile programme to be involved in.
Okay, where can they get more information?
They can get more information by visiting our website, www.activedonegal.com, or by phoning the office on 074-91-16078.
Therese, many thanks for coming in and joining us today. We wish you all the best for the conference next weekend.
Thanks for having me, Oisín.